From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Reack this week. The past 14 months in California has witnessed several of the state's most deadly, destructive, and massive wildfires in recorded history. Overseeing the efforts to contain these natural disasters was CAL FIRE Director Chief Ken Pimlott, who has spent the past 30-plus years of his career with the agency. Tomorrow, Friday, he'll say goodbye as he heads into retirement. Today, he joins us live in studio to reflect on his time with CAL FIRE and give us some, as the show's title might suggest, insight on the state's wildfire management. Chief Pimlott, welcome to Insight. Really great to have you here today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Was there any overriding factor that led you to choose this moment to retire?
No, it's always been my plan to work through and support Governor Brown through this his term in office, and it reached that point in that tenure in my career. So it was always planned to retire at this time.
It just happened to fall after some of the most destructive fires in history.
It did, and it's obviously been a challenging number of years, and will continue to be. So, when is the right time? But certainly for me, from a personal perspective, this has always been the plan, and I'm ready.
So this past year or so has been, I don't have to tell you, incredibly intense for your agency. You've said firefighters are living climate change as they face larger and more destructive wildfires. How have you seen the threats to those fighting these fires change in your time with the agency?
So over the last three decades, fires are larger, they're more intense, the weather patterns are changing in such that they're more conducive to these more extreme events, and that's just in rates of spread, the intensity, acreage burned. We're now multiple 100,000-acre fires are burning every year. That was the exception to the rule, several decades ago. And as you said, most destructive, most deadly, largest, all happened within the span of just a few months this year. Long fire season. It's really all year now. Firefighters are working throughout the year, and in many cases, they're deployed months and with little break. And those, again, more the exception to the rule, in previous decades, but it's really becoming the norm.
Fires that would have become a household name almost become an afterthought when the next fire breaks more records.
Just a few years ago, when we talk about the Rim Fire, 2013 near Yosemite, that was over 250,000 acres and threatened Yosemite, almost now paled by the next set of fires, the Valley and the Butte Fire that destroyed homes in Lake and Calaveras and Amador County, followed up again by the Sobranos in Monterey County, and then 2017 with the devastating fall fire siege in the North Bay. And could anyone think it could get worse than what happened in Santa Rosa and Napa counties and some of the other counties? And then this year, already just in the summer prior to what's just happened in Butte County, we had very devastating fires in Mendocino and Shasta County. And now, of course, this, the Paradise, Butte County, Magalia. Just every year we continue to see more devastation, more destructive fires. And there's no indication that this is going to change.
Did you think it would be a while before we topped the numbers seen with the Tubbs Fire in that complex?
I certainly hope so. But the reality of it is we've been watching these trends, seeing the change, and we know that this is the trend. This is where we're going to be having fire in California. So while we didn't want it to occur, none of us should be surprised based on the conditions that this is what's happening.
Last month, U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke said this about the causes of wildfire in California during an interview on Breitbart News.
We know the problem. It's been years neglect. And in many cases, it's been these radical environmentalists that want nature to take its course. We have dead and dying timber. We can manage it using best science best practices. But to let this devastation go on year after year after year is unacceptable. It's not going to happen.
First, we should point out, he said it's not time to finger point, and then he pointed. But to his suggestion, is that the main cause of our wildfire problems in California, radical environmentalists?
Well, he's correct in that it's not time to finger point. We have to be in this all together. And I think we're looking at this across the board. Are there efficiencies in our environmental review processes, both at the state and federal level? But there's a lot of work to be done across the landscape, in the forested landscape, in our hardening our communities. It's going to take all of us and continue to take everybody working together in all aspects of this.
So it's the root of these fires like we've never seen before is multi-pronged.
The root is multi-pronged, and the reality is we're coming off of 5 years of drought. Vegetation is critically, critically parched. Even with rainfall that we've had several winters, it hasn't changed the condition. Temperatures are changing. The weather patterns are changing. The climate is changing to where we're seeing different vegetation move into areas that historically weren't there. All of that's part of this changing landscape, and that's going to be real as we go forward. And so it's all of the factors that we need to engage in to respond to this.
The president has repeatedly criticized forest management. How big of a role do you think forest management plays? How big of a prong, I guess, since we said that before?
Forest management is key, but it's really, I call it sort of a three-legged stool. It's forest management, fire prevention, fuels treatment, prescribed fire. Absolutely need to increase the pace and scale. Need to be smart where we target that, where we use leverage our funding and work on that. But it's about other factors, too. It's fire prevention. It's education. It's land use planning. It's ensuring that, you know, we're looking at what we're learning from these devastating fires in the built environment. And how do we work on those aspects as well?
You've said if we don't learn from what happened in Paradise and then last year, of course, in the North Bay, then we're missing the real issue. Help us understand that. What should we not be missing?
So the first 6 to 12 hours of the campfire, firefighters were literally engaged in rescue. Firefighters, law enforcement, ordinary, regular civilians. We weren't engaging in the firefight. We were just literally pulling people out of harm's way. In many cases, people couldn't evacuate because of the timing, and so they were sheltered in place in areas. Obviously, many people died in that fire. So we have to look at all of the factors that occurred in the campfire and others and determine, can we learn things from this? We have very strict building codes in the urban interface in California. We've got to look to see, you know, are there needs for improvement? We need to work together collectively between local government, the state, and identify, are there areas that, again, we're going to build in these areas, but can we do it smartly? Are there areas that we know are just not defendable because they're fire prone? They're in canyons that are intensifying winds that just make it impossible to protect. So how can we look at development patterns and how can we look at ways to better protect these communities?
The intense winds that we saw in Butte County, Napa, Sonoma counties, when those winds are pushing fire like they are, is there really anything your agency can do to stop those fires at that point? Or do you have to really wait on Mother Nature to change the environment?
And there are always factors we can look at when we're there and take targets of opportunity. But the reality is when you have 40, 50 mile an hour sustained winds pushing a fire, you have a fire spotting, putting embers out over a mile ahead of the fire. Paradise, there were over 100 spot fires developing within the community of Paradise, even before the flaming front reached. There's very little you can do to suppress those fires or stop that. And again, you're focused on saving lives.
California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones said yesterday, if people choose to build in high-risk wildfire areas, they may not be able to insure those homes unless the state steps in.
We are steadily marching towards a future in California where private insurance may not be available in high-risk fire, flood, and coastal areas. That is the future we face unless dramatic steps are taken to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and contemporaneously, there are some policy changes made to make sure insurance continues to be available.
Is your belief, Chief Pimlott, that we should put more thought into where we build? Are there specific areas you believe should be off limits for building or insuring, as we just heard?
Absolutely. And insurance is a key part, working with the insurance industry together to determine what are the incentives. We need to look at areas that, again, are very fire prone. That, again, we talked about canyons, areas that really magnify the wind, that don't have ingress and egress routes where we can't safely evacuate. But we need to do this together. And there may be local land use planning decisions that can be made that help, again, clustering development so they can be protected if a fire comes through. It's going to take a lot of effort and collaboration from the insurance industry, from local land use planning, the state, fire safe councils, all across the board working together to solve the challenge.
We saw what can happen in Paradise. Should Paradise be rebuilt?
Certainly looking at Paradise, if I lived in Paradise and lost everything, but that was my home, folks are going to want to go back. And the county's certainly going to want to look in the city about how to rebuild that. I think now, and the mayor's been very clear about this, as she said, hey, look, in the coming months, we're going to sit down and talk about what's the right way to do it. And I think that's where we're at. This is the time for the conversation to look at what are the things that we can learn from this and improve. And not just in Paradise, but there are hundreds of communities across California with legacy construction built decades ago that are at risk. And so we can learn from what happened in Paradise and other places and apply that to even existing communities to help harden existing infrastructure and communities.
We're speaking with CAL FIRE Director Chief Ken Pimlott regarding the 2018 fire season, which will be his last before he retires tomorrow. When Governor Schwarzenegger was in office, he said there's no longer a fire season, that it's just year-round. Would you agree with that?
Completely.
Uh-huh. It's changed that much compared to when you were volunteering back in the mid-80s?
Yes. In the early to mid-80s, I actually started as a reserve firefighter in Contra Costa County and then moved into my career with CDF at the time and ultimately CAL FIRE. And yes, we all of us were looking at fire season here in the West as a seasonal, you know, those peak summer months with the shoulder months in the spring and fall. We literally have had fire conditions at times in Humboldt County in the last few years in January, one of the wettest areas in the state. And we had a 300 or more acre fire. And so the conditions can happen at any time now in the state, and we have to be prepared year round.
You've said that we need strict building codes. How would those be enforced?
So obviously, right now, California has wildland urban interface building codes that were adopted just over 10 years ago. As new construction comes into play, those are, you know, being utilized. The challenge is we have over 750,000 habitable structures in the state responsibility area. Those are the 30-plus million acres that CAL FIRE protects. So how we've got to be able to look at ensuring those existing structures, how can we help defend those? Defensible space. Are there upgrades that we can help provide incentives for to have roofs changed out where that hasn't been done? How can we look at other improvements around structures to do that? But it's going to take all of us. We're increasing our defensible space inspections. It's really more that's about public contact. It starts with FireWise communities. It starts with fire-safe councils. It's really a grassroots local effort where this communication has to occur with everyone living in the wildland.
Defensible space, that is really key in many areas, is it not?
It is absolutely key. We bring the firefighters, we bring the emergency response, we bring grants to help with forest management, forest health. But the key is what the homeowner needs to do to take care of their own property. And it starts with that defensible space, ensuring that there's clearance around your home to minimize or at least reduce the impact when a fire comes through.
And how about inspections to make sure people are doing just that?
Absolutely. Right now, CAL FIRE is targeting 250,000 inspections annually across the state responsibility area. That's our goal. And we come very close to that every year. But obviously, we're not reaching and contacting everyone. But that's the important piece. And the first priority, it's not, we don't use the stick, we use the carrot. We want to work with people to get the work done. At the end of the day, we want compliance. And so much of this is about education and helping homeowners understand why it's important to do this and how they can get it done.
So you've been with CAL FIRE during some very historic times. Have you seen anything that surprised you? Like, really surprised you, like maybe the fire tornado up in Redding or those sorts of things?
Literally took the words out of my mouth. That I think we've all seen fire whirls. We've seen, you know, erratic fire behavior. But it was an EF3 tornado, a half mile wide, that was just appeared and brought fire and wind down on firefighters and homeowners, really in an unexpected manner, and really never seen anything occur like that on a fire.
Anything that hasn't made the news that surprised you?
No, I think the reality, though, is our firefighters, CAL FIRE, and all of our local and federal partners are working very hard, and I couldn't be more proud of all of them. And CAL FIRE firefighters are working, throughout the year now, again, as we've changed this paradigm. And again, our workforce was never set up to be a year-round response, and we're working very closely with the legislature and administration to find ways to better support that. Because as I've talked about, climate change is being witnessed and experienced every day by firefighters.
Who will lead these hardworking firefighters as we head forward? Has there been a selection process?
So an announcement will come out tomorrow as I transition out. But I will tell you, I'm very confident in this organization. The men and women who are leading and working in CAL FIRE will be in good hands. And obviously, having experienced the job and been part of it as the leader of CAL FIRE for the last 8 years, I understand the complexity of the organization and the mission and working with all of our stakeholders and partners. And it's certainly not an easy job, but I certainly would not, step down if I didn't feel very confident with the men and women in this organization taking it forward.
What words of wisdom will you give him or her to be sure that the future leader of CAL FIRE will be as successful as possible?
It's partnerships. None of us do this alone. And what I've learned, first and foremost, it's everyone that we work with, whether it's federal, state, local governments, our partners in public safety, our partners out in the counties, and folks in the environmental community. What we do is a very broad mission, and it's really engaging with all of the partners to get the work done.
We've talked a lot about how dire it is, really, with the changing climate and the different obstacles we face in keeping wildfires under control in California. What are you most hopeful about? What do you see as we move forward as being a bright spot?
Not ever in my 30-plus year career have I seen the level of commitment and engagement and unified approach to this problem. And it's those engaging in the forest health and forest management sector. I mean, we've got a forest management task force now. We've got just everyone coming together. And again, as I said, these partners at the state, local, federal level and non-governmental organizations all working together and really aligned in the same mission. I think California is leading the way in that. And so that gives me great hope. We just have to keep momentum going as we go forward.
Do you think our divided political times could be a stumbling block in achieving that?
I don't. Politics have no place here. And I think we've all said that very clearly that when public safety and disasters know no political party. And I have witnessed in my tenure as the chief how, particularly here in California, that gets set aside to get to the table. Yes, we have disagreements and we have different perspectives on things, but I have seen and witnessed all sides of the aisle rolling up their sleeves to tackle this problem, and I'm very heartened by that.
So after tomorrow, it's your private life. You can share what you like, but what happens after tomorrow?
Just going to, take some time, and maybe this sounds a bit cliche, but yes, take some time for family, take a break. I'll really need to reset and decide what's in it, for the future. I have not made any decisions, but I'm looking forward to reconnecting and just enjoying some other time.
Well, I know I say this from all of us at Capital Public Radio and the team here at Insight. Thank you so much for your 30 years of service with CAL FIRE and helping keep all of us safe during this time. Director of CAL FIRE, Chief Ken Pimlott, with us on Insight today. Thank you for spending your second to last day here on Insight.
Thank you.
And there is always more at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. Thank you.